Well, if you have a Bible with you, please do turn once again to Psalm 124. I think that one of the really exciting things about the Uncover Luke material that we are going to be using this term will be that, God willing, we will have opportunities to share the gospel, perhaps maybe even for the first time, with friends or family or colleagues. And as we talk through and go through Luke's gospel with them, being able to explain the joy that we have in our Saviour, the hope that we have of heaven, and the fullness of life that we now have in Jesus is going to be a truly wonderful, wonderful thing. But one message that's clear from Luke's gospel, indeed from all the gospels, is that the Christian life doesn't come with a magic wand making life easy. People often think that, don't they? That, oh, you're a Christian, therefore life must be so easy for you. And one of the realities as we go through Uncover Luke with people and open up to them is, as we show them the joy and the wonderful good news of the gospel, is that just because you're a Christian and have come to trust Jesus, it doesn't mean all our troubles disappear. And indeed, the Bible is just so wonderfully realistic about that. Indeed, Psalm 124 is just so wonderfully realistic about that. That the road of discipleship, the road of following Jesus, the pilgrim's path, is a hazardous road. The journey for Israel, as they travelled up to Jerusalem three times a year to celebrate the different festivals, was not always a safe one. And the journey for us, as we travel to the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, is not always a safe one or an easy one either. And Psalm 124 wonderfully reminds us of God's power to protect and deliver his people as they travel this hazardous path. This past week in The Spectator, there was an article called "Who Will Protect Nigeria's Northern Christians?" I don't know if anyone here saw it. And the article goes on to speak about the unfolding tragedy and massacre of Christians in northern Nigeria. And the journalist made this most kind of piercing observation. He wrote this: For the outside world, what's happening to Christians in northern Nigeria is both beyond our imagination, and here is the bit that I thought was really striking, and beneath our interest. Beneath our interest. For these pilgrims walking the road of discipleship in Nigeria, the road could not be more hazardous at the moment. It could not be more full of danger. The valleys couldn't be darker. The dangers couldn't be more real. And the Western world barely even turns a head to look, let alone offer help. But it is not beneath the interest of God, is it? Nor beneath the power of God. This week, after reading that article, I've been thinking what it would look like for these Christians in northern Nigeria to sing or read this psalm. And in all honesty, I don't know what it would be like for them, but as I've been praying for them, and as I've been praying for us this evening, I've prayed that we would see that this psalm reminds us that God is with us as we walk the darkest parts of the pilgrim's road. Here we're reminded that God doesn't brush over our sufferings as if they're not happening. God doesn't airbrush the experiences of our life that are difficult. He's bound to his covenant people in all enduring faithfulness, love, and one on whom we can depend utterly. And that's what David is calling to mind for Israel here. He's calling them to remember God's power while walking the pilgrim's road, and that they would continue to depend on God and not on themselves as they come upon various dangers on that road. So there's just two points for us this evening, really, as we go through this psalm. Firstly, that we are reminded to depend on God's power to protect. Depend on God's power to protect. And secondly, that we would be reminded to depend on God's power to deliver. Look with me here to this psalm here, Psalm of David, and we'll just read again verses 1 to 5. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept us away. David here is clearly facing enemies and dangers, people rising up against him. People's anger is clearly kindled against David here, isn't it? He and perhaps indeed Israel have been under pressure, under the cosh. And just note, it is people rising up against David. As he sought to live for God, as God's anointed, people have come and opposed him. But let's remind ourselves, why do people oppose David here? Is it because they really have something against David? Or is it really because they have something against God, whom David stands for? We must remind ourselves that it is in rebellion to God that people sit. And that plays out on the horizontal plane to us, his messengers, as they oppose us. After a CU mission that I was involved in 2010. This has kind of come back to me this week, thinking of the mission coming up. After a CU mission I was involved in 2010, the week after, there was a kind of double-page article appeared in the student newspaper, the Gaudi. I don't know if that is still going. Somebody can maybe confirm for me if it is or not. But in the Gaudi, in the student newspaper, a double-page article appeared the week after the mission, the CU mission. And somebody had written this double-page article, absolutely tearing in to the Christian Union. He couldn't stand what we stood for. He was completely and vehemently opposed to all that went on. Anyway, obviously after this article, we had a wee bit of back and forth with this guy. And as we got to know him, and as I got to know him a wee bit, and we got to strike up a bit of a friendship, I guess, after it. What did I discover? Was it that he really hated us as we walked around on campus, leafleting, lunch bars, etc.? No, he was vehemently opposed to God. And David illustrates just the sheer extent of the danger he's in. Look at the two images in verses 3 to 5. Image number one, he's saying, all this danger we face, we could have been swallowed alive. That's not a pretty thought, is it? But it's a vivid picture of destruction. Then he emphasizes it by likening the danger they're faced to being like a flood or a torrent of water, raging waters going over them. And water is just so destructive, isn't it? I don't know if anyone here drove out or was passing through Ballater over winter last year after the flooding that they'd had in Ballater. We were out there in the January, and as you were driving into Ballater, you were just on the side of the road seeing all these parts and pieces of the caravans that had floated down the Dee from the caravan site. All this debris, all the mess, all the destruction, that the havoc that the water had brought to Ballater. It's just so destructive, water. There's nothing left in the pathway of water that's left undamaged. And David here is saying that he's facing enemies like that, that would have caused total destruction. Both these images point to circumstances in which we cannot do anything to help ourselves. If we're standing on a beach when a tsunami comes, if we're standing on a pier when water crashes over it and we're taken into the sea, we can do nothing to help ourselves. I don't know if anyone here has seen the first few minutes of the film called The Impossible that was released a few years ago about the 2012 tsunami in Thailand. And it starts really peacefully, this family by the pool on the coast in Thailand. And then this wall of water just hits them and they are completely helpless to this torrent of water raging over them. They are helpless to the power of the waves. And one of the most helpful things here, I think, is that David is totally silent about the dangers that he faces. He speaks of the nature of them, their complete destruction, but he doesn't give specifics. And that's so helpful for us as we apply this, isn't it? Because David's saying, well, this pilgrim's path is so dangerous, and those dangers come in all shapes and sizes. And we are totally helpless against them. We are totally helpless. Israel, David, are totally helpless against these dangers if it wasn't for one thing. If it wasn't for one simple reason, they would have been washed away and swallowed alive. And what is that reason? If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, God is on their side. David says it was God's power alone that protected us and stopped us being swallowed alive. It was God's power alone that stopped us being washed away. It was God's power alone that saw us safe. See how God here is on the side of his covenant people, Israel. Alec Mortier says of these verses, of verses 1 and 2, the verses hold together the Lord and his people saved by grace. And they're preparing the ground for the guarantee of constant favor, whereby the Lord is always on the side of his chosen ones. Whose side is God on? On the side of his chosen and covenant people. Our pilgrim's path, Mortier goes on to say, thus always lies in the arena of God's power. The power on our side is always superior to the power on the side of the enemy. What did we see in our studies in 1 John? 1 John 4, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Do you remember those old playground taunts? My dad is better than your dad. My dad is stronger than your dad, faster than your dad. Remember that? My dad is dot, dot, dot. Well, here David is saying, my dad truly is more powerful than anything you can bring against him. Anything you can bring against him. If the Lord hadn't been on the side of the people, on the side of David, then David wouldn't have been around to have written this psalm. It was God alone who protects. David is reminding Israel, it's God alone who protects. God's power is the lens through which we must see that we are protected in any circumstance. Whatever earthly means he uses, it is God's power behind it that keeps us safe on the pilgrim's road. And note here that David says that it is God on Israel's side. David doesn't write, oh, we did well because we were on God's side, like choosing a sports team. The difference is subtle, but I think it makes an important point. When I was growing up in Edinburgh, I had a choice of which football team to support, Hibs or Hearts, Maroon or Green. There maybe wasn't much of a choice in the end. You can speak to me about that afterwards. I'm happily to talk to you about it. But in that kind of choice, the instigation lies with me. And if my team have success, I take credit for it because I backed the right horse, as it were. As if it's a level playing field at the start and I've managed to back and choose the right side that's going to win or sometimes lose. But no, God is on the side of his people. Abraham Lincoln said, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is always to be on the side of God. And this is so comforting because it is God choosing to protect, deliver, and be with his people, no matter what. Now, we're making a point of this, but I think the point is important. Look at the repetition as well in verses 1 and 2. David wants to make it explicitly clear it's God alone doing the protecting. It's God alone doing it. He repeats God's name twice, doesn't he? The Lord, Yahweh. He's saying it's him alone that's keeping us safe. God being for and with his people is the most comforting truth. It means that as we walk this dangerous path, this hazardous path of discipleship, we do so in the assurance of God's presence with us. I guess there are times in life where we feel very alone, times in the workplace, times with family, times with neighbours as we look to take the gospel out. I guess there are times when we're going to feel the hazards of asking a friend to sit down and doing uncover Luke. Perhaps someone says no. Perhaps we sit down with a non-Christian friend or colleague and we do one study. And after that study, they say, we don't want to hear this anymore. And we'll feel that, won't we? We'll see that hazard on the road. But what David is saying and reminding Israel here and what he's reminding us, we can always depend on God's presence with us, God's power with us as we step out with the gospel. We never step on the pilgrim's path alone. The repetition in verse 1 and 2 does something else as well. Because as time lapses in our life and distance grows between us and our sufferings, what is the tendency? Well, I think the tendency is that we take our eyes off God and in helping us in the events in the past, and we think that it was us, that we ourselves managed to deliver us from a certain situation. Think about a time that we've managed to hurt ourselves some way, broken an arm, broken a leg, stubbed our toe. At the time, there's nothing sorer, is there? There's so much pain, we think, this is the worst kind of thing we can face. Somebody asks you about it a month, 2 months, 2 years later. It was fine. I coped with it really, really well. What happened at the time and what we recount of that experience can be two different things. So David is repeating this here so that we're absolutely sure that 2 years, 5 years, 20 years down the line, we look on God's help for us in a time of danger and we remember that it was God who was with us. And we don't think, looking back, it was me that managed to get myself out of that tricky situation. No, we're to fix our eyes on God. Martin Luther says this, "When we are in danger, our fear is without measure. But when it is past, we imagine it to have been less than it was. And this is a delusion of Satan to diminish the grace of God." David, therefore, with repeating verses 1 and 2, stirs the people up to be more thankful to God for God's deliverance of them. He goes on to say, "From this then we are taught how to think of troubles and afflictions of the past, lest the sense of God's grace vanish out of our minds." We must look back over our lives and remember with thankfulness God's hand to help us through trials and dangers. The danger may be open over for now. We may be past the hurdle or the trial. But if we ever start to think that we got through it on our own, then we're walking away from the truth and we're no longer giving the praise and thanks to God. So David's reminder of all of this, David's assurance that God was the one who delivered them, leads him to praise God, doesn't it? Verse 6, "Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord." David praises the Lord that the Lord was with him and delivered him and protected him from this danger and from this trial. And surely that is the right response when we know that the Lord has been with us. David reminds Israel in these first few verses to depend on God's power for protection and to remember God's power when he protected us. Secondly then, and much more briefly, in verses 6 and 7, David goes on to remind Israel to be dependent on God's power to deliver. David builds on the start of the psalm to speak of God's deliverance here, verses 6 and 7. "Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We've escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped." God doesn't only protect Israel when they're completely helpless. He delivers them from the dangers on the road. The deliverance is also a complete deliverance. They escape from the snare and the snare is broken. Let me illustrate this from Exodus as we think about God's people coming out of Egypt. What do we see? You don't need to turn it up, but at the end of Exodus chapter 2. The end of Exodus chapter 2. "During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them." Could the Israelites in Egypt free themselves from the dangers of the road? Could they manage to just work a little bit harder in order to get themselves out of the peril and slavery? No. They escaped the snare because of God's hand being powerful to deliver and take them through the dangers of the road. God remembers his covenant. He was on their side and he rescues them from Egypt. And do they escape by just a whisker? No, they cross the sea, an act impossible without God. And when they're safe, the waters come across Pharaoh and his army, ensuring that they're totally broken. Complete deliverance when we are helpless, all from God. And what is it that we see Christ doing for us on the cross? complete deliverance from our sin when we were totally helpless to save or deliver ourselves. So we're reminded in this wonderful psalm that we can depend on the power of God for his protection and his deliverance while we walk this road. He chose us and he is for his covenant people. He is on our side and goes with us. David then finishes the psalm in verse 8. Finishes the psalm declaring that our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. In other words, the power of God is ultimate as he is creator of all. David is saying, keep looking to him at the start. Remember God's power to deliver and protect. And at the end of the psalm, he's saying, look back to God, fix your eyes on him. He's all powerful. He's the creator of heaven and earth. There's nowhere on this pilgrim's road you can go, no trial you can face, no danger you can come up against, where God is not able to break in and deliver and be with his people. And he says that to the wonderful comfort and praise of his people, that they know as they step into tomorrow, as the pilgrim's road perhaps goes up on high, glorious mountains and low, deep valleys, he is with them. And as creator of heaven and earth, nowhere on this earth is outside of his power. The darkest valleys, the longest days, we can depend on God as our help. We are never, ever alone as we step out with Christ. We can call on our Father, the creator of heaven and earth, depending on his power to protect and depending on his power to deliver. Forgetting that God is with us or has been with us, we do to our peril, but journeying with him and going forward, stepping out, depending on him, we do to his glory and praise. Amen.